All right, class, welcome back to school. I know you're all the second-year students, so you're familiar. I don't have to introduce myself. But this class is Church Unusual. Every year I try to start off the same way. I'm going to give a foundation for this class and where we're going. The first class won't be very long at all. But I always say the same thing. The name of this class is Church Unusual, and it bothers me that we even have to have a class. The book is called, our textbook is called Church Unusual, but it bothers me that we even have to have something called Church Unusual, because the church is already unusual, which means that if we have to have a class called Church Unusual, then the church must be seeming or acting pretty usual to the things that are around. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so in this class, we're going to renew our minds of what we believe about church. I know some of y'all have been in church for years. Some of y'all are church kids. I'm a church kid. You know what I'm saying? I know how that goes. But we've always got to allow Jesus. Y'all know me. I'm a red word guy. We've always got to allow Jesus to revolutionize the way that we think. Anytime that we think we know already, or we already got it, or we're stuck in a way, that's when we begin to die. That's when we begin to not be fruitful. And Jesus is always growing, ever increasing in faith. And that ever increasing is not just the name of the school, but it's actually scripture. Always increasing in faith. And so we're going to challenge some of your things. I know what you think. You think you know what church is. You think church is consists of a preacher and a choir and the ushers and certain different doctrines and different things that you, and we're going to get to one scripture that says, leaving the doctrines of Christ and grow up into the elementary things of the doctrines of Christ and grow up into some other things. And say, well, what? We're going to get that this class. But we're really going to see what the church, I'm going to read a passage, go to Matthew chapter 16. And y'all learned this in the Living by the Book class, and I'm a big guy on context. So I don't believe in just reading. So when we get back to it, for the sake of introduction right now, I'm going to read straight through these scriptures, but I'm a big guy on context. And I believe in reading what's before and what's after to understand where we are and what's going on in the text. And not just trying to explain a certain little message or idea you're trying to get across. But Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, we're really going to see what the foundation of the church is. What was Jesus' plan for the church? What did the church look like? What does the church look like now? And what should it look like? What are we doing wrong? And sometimes somebody say, you're doing it now, right? Like sometimes we're doing things now that are making the church ineffective and usual when it should be unusual. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but I made it sound really good, right? Caesarea Philippi. Everybody be saying these words. Anyway, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, so one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Question. And Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. And I can imagine him saying it, you know, pretty boastful. I use my imagination. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood is not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. There we go, we got the church right now. And the gates of hell should not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So now we see he's asking, before he talks, I'm learning while I'm talking to you. I do this all the time. But before he begins to say in verse 18, you know, how he's going to build his church or what he's going to build his church on, he talks identity before he talks building the church. That's great. I love it. Who do men say that I am? And who do you say that I am? And he goes from the I am to building the church on the I am. And then we're going to get to it. But he goes identity first, then building after. And then now he's given us the understanding. So he goes on further. Verse 20, then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now that's a challenge for us too, because we out here screaming Jesus and Christ and all over the place. Once again, I'll talk about that more later. Verse 21, here he begins to explain the foundation of the church. From that time forth, began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief of priests and the scribes. Now, those are the church at the time. Those are the current clergy at the time. That's where the church, what the church looks like at the time. In Jerusalem, the elders, chief of priests, and the scribes. What? And it took a turn. It says, and be killed and raised on the third day. You mean he going to go to the priests and the scribes and the elders and they're going to kill him? Mm. Verse 22. And I'm going to read through this for a reason. And then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. The audacity. And began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Now, this is the same Peter that just said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So if you believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, then whatever the Christ, the Son of the living God tells you is what's going to happen. So what are you doing right here when you're taking Jesus and you got the nerve to rebuke him and tell him it's not going to be unto thee? Like he don't know what he's talking about. Verse 23, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. I want you to pay attention to this, because our churches currently, majority of them have been built on savoring the things that be of men and not of God. Now you say, well, no, we love God. Yes, but you've been trying to serve men because you want a lot of numbers and you want a lot of people in your pews and you want a lot of, and you think you need a lot of followers and all these different things. So you do what it takes to get all that. And sometimes we miss out on serving or passing God out because we're trying to serve men. I don't have to go there, but Gideon's army, a lot of churches need to grow down in number. My mom always laughs about this. A man we heard preach, and he says his church grew from 2,500 to 1,500 because those that were just there, Jesus would talk about those that just follow him because they wanted to eat, because they saw him break bread and multiply fish and bread. So they saw him make water into wine. So they just wanted to come and have a party. They were not there to partake in his identity or to be able to take place or take part in whatever God's will was to be done. Gideon's army is a perfect example. You can go read that another time. With 32,000, it goes down to 300, right? And they win the battle because they got all the careless and all the afraid people out of the way. So now we've been saving the things that be of men to try to grow numbers. Verse 24, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever will save his life shall lose it. And whoever loses life for my sake shall find it. What is it a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It's a question. And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It's a question. For the Son of Man shall come in his glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. We're going to break this down and really get to the conversation of what the church, you know, I'm going to talk about some things that could be controversial. I want to see how Jesus built the church, how Jesus intended on building a church. How did Peter build? How did Paul build? And what's going on? And does the church look like Jesus right now? Do we look like his intention? And so this is what this class is going to be about. I want you to read through this chapter. And we'll talk about it when we get back. Matthew chapter 16, read through the whole chapter because it begins with him going on a boat. And, you know, he told them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they thought it's because they forgot to bring bread for their dinner on the trip. And Jesus was like, what? You don't remember when I was multiplying bread? I don't need you to. I'm not talking about actual bread. I'm talking about the leaven. Or they seem to be very disciplined and committed. Yet there's still man's ways in there. We're going to talk about it. So this is Church Unusual. I want you to, we're going to use our book. We're going to use some context to touch some pertinent things because I want you to understand that the church is not a building. The church is not an organization. We can't organize and we can't have buildings, thank God. But you are the church. The church is actually built in you and it's actually you being joined. We're going to Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to read that chapter as well. us joining together to come into the knowledge of the Son of God and to be fruit for the work of the ministry, perfecting the saints, and the edifying of the body. We're going to talk about all these things in Church Unusual. So this is class one. Read Matthew chapter 16 very well. Read it a bunch of times, actually. Read Ephesians 4. And we're going to get back together next class and talk about it. I'm excited, Church Unusual.